what you waiting on? Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fast, only. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday after kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Deli. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Deli. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
Well, we're live here. Listen, we're back on the air. The Tony Sands Show is back. For those that are joining us via Facebook, you're going to have to eventually go on to bbsradio.com/the Tony Sands Show. When I get ready to start my interviews, you're going to have to go over there. I'm going to give you a sneak peek inside everything here as we get ready to go. We're live in studio here at the Tony Sands Show. Listen, we bring this thing all full circle. Full circle. But tonight, guess what? I got guests. My main man, Roger Harriet, is going to join us. We're going to be talking about the state of St. Thomas Aquinas. The state of St. Thomas Aquinas, as those people out there that follow high school football understands and knows. St. Thomas and FSHA came down to St. Thomas and handed out, you know, some sanctions that some say were justifiable, some say wasn't, and then some says, why all of a sudden at this point, do we add sanctions to a program when every program in America is doing this? Why do we add sanctions at this point in the game? We'll get into that, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, the things that I'm hearing are why we could possibly be gaining. But I'm going to tell you, like I told you, you guys are going to have to join the Tony Sands Show when I go off the air to hear those interviews at bbsradio.com/the Tony Sands Show, or you can listen in to us on iHeartRadio. So either one, we're ready to go. We're going to chime in. My man Mo Love going to talk about, he's joining, he's my basketball expert analyst out of Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to talk about on the court, off the court, pay for play, whatever you call it. We're going to talk about it here on the Tony Sands Show. And we get in depth here. So it ain't no, you know, don't say this. You can't say that. This is not. And if you want to chime in, you can contact us here at the Tony Sands Show. My main man, Doug, will be answering the phones. He's the producer behind the show. He keeps us going. But Doug's going to be calling some of my guests. But I'm going to tell you. When I look at this basketball scandal, and Doug, as a matter of fact, play me a part of the scandal. You can call us if you want to listen in to the show. You can call us at 888-627. That's 6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you want to chime in with me or my guests, and we go back and forth on some of the topics that may come to your mind or that we are talking about, let us know here on the Tony Sands Show. But Doug, let's go ahead and we're going to get into this pay for play, this NCAA scandal. And everybody got to understand, here go the NCAA with the investigations, and which started about a year ago when they came and arrested 10 guys involved in basketball in the NCAA. So Doug, going to play. Doug, play that sound bite for me. And for those, this is where it comes in that you guys going to have to take your phones and also chime in on BBS Radio. But Doug, play that for me.
Playing a game off the court.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Good morning to you, Michael. This extensive FBI investigation might as well be right out of a movie. Wiretaps, undercover agents, informants, all leading to allegations of dirty recruiting tactics and the biggest scandal to rock the amateur sports arena in recent history.
This morning, the NCAA rocked by what the FBI is calling a massive corruption scheme, uncovering the dark side of hoop dreams.
Managers and financial advisors circling blue chip prospects like coyotes.
At least 10 people, four assistant coaches at some of the country's elite Division I programs among them, now face federal bribery, fraud, and corruption charges.
Coaches at some of the nation's top programs soliciting and accepting cash bribes.
The FBI says...
And as you, for those that are, if you're joining in here on Facebook, I took a pause because we played a soundbite for those that are listening in us on BBS Radio, possibly iHeartRadio. They got a chance to hear the soundbite that we bought on from the basketball soundbite because this scandal has been going on for a minute. And now, just recently, they decided to hand down penalties. The FBI, when you get the FBI involved, you know at that point, guess what? They got a 99% chance of taking you down, and we got an opportunity to see this in full effect as they're starting to hand down their sanctions. Some guys got a year, some guys got 6 months, but you got to understand the NCAA is a $1 billion industry. Basketball brings $1 billion in revenue to the NCAA. And when I bring my man Mo Love on, he's going to give you guys an insight on really a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes of college basketball and some of the wiretaps that was involved. So you're going to have to definitely chime in on BBS Radio in a little bit, BBS Radio / the Tony Sands Show, or you can find it on iHeartRadio. But we're going to get in that. That way you can get the in-depth and you can hear what is being talked about by some of my expert analysts. And like I told you, Coach Roger Harriet will be joining the Tony Sands Show. So you want to hear that. And you understand now, for those that follow high school football, and as I told you earlier, we had some things within the last month to where the FSHAA came in, which is the Florida Athletic Association, came in and handed down some what they would call infractions on St. Thomas Aquinas High School that pretty much, as they say, shook a lot of trees and woke up a lot of people. But they're saying, and I asked about, because they say the rules have gotten tougher, but they say the rules hasn't gotten tougher. They've been in place. Okay, if they've been in place, why haven't any of these same rules been implemented? Because I'm quite sure this is not the first time that everyone's hearing that there have been some possibly and all these are allegations, and we're going to find out when I bring Coach Harriet on and let him tell us how this played out and how all this came about, because I'm quite sure we all don't have a clear idea, because the FSHA did not indulge. They just said they have infractions, and I think St. Thomas took some fines, and we'll find out if you have knowledge, and this is where this thing get gray. If you have knowledge of a situation, are you required as a head to notify or tell whoever your higher are, hey, this is what happened, this is what's going on? So we're going to get into that, and we're going to see just how it played out. Coach Harry is going to give us an inside scoop on that. But I'm going to tell you something. That's where we are at in our show. We're getting ready to contact my main man, Mo Love, as we get into the NCAA's infractions, federal infraction. And also, you got to understand, the University of Arizona, their basketball coach is involved in this a lot. And you got to understand, when I say pay for play, some of these guys were getting paid $10,000 a month to play basketball. And some of you guys may say, when I said that, say, ooh, that's a lot. But that's not a lot when the NCAA is profiting $1 billion. That's right, I said $1 billion. So I'm telling you, you guys, we've been to close out here, because you're going to have to head over to BBS Radio / BBSRadio.com / The Tony Sands Show. Because my main man, Mo Love, is joining the show. And if you want to hear what he's saying, he's my basketball expert, my basketball analyst when it comes to basketball. Doug, before we bring Maurice on, can you play that sound bite, that first sound bite back again when we opened up the show?
is here with this story. And Lindsay, it seems like they were playing a game off the court.
Yeah, exactly right. Good morning to you, Michael. This extensive FBI investigation might as well be right out of a movie. Wiretaps, undercover agents and informants, all leading to allegations of dirty recruiting tactics and the biggest scandal to rock the amateur sports arena in recent history.
This morning, the NCAA rocked by what the FBI is calling a massive corruption scheme, uncovering the dark side of hoop dreams.
Managers and financial advisors circling blue-chip prospects like coyotes.
At least 10 people, four assistant coaches at some of the country's elite Division I programs among them, now face federal bribery, fraud, and corruption charges.
Coaches at some of the nation's top programs soliciting and accepting cash bribes.
Back with Tony Sands Show. Hey, my man, Mo Love. Mo, what's going on, my brother?
What's going on, Tony? How you doing today?
Listen, man, I'm enjoying myself. I'm telling my viewers that are watching me on Facebook Live that they got to turn over to BBS Radio/The Tony Sands Show if they want to hear your how you break this thing down. But, Mo, let's dig into this now. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's get into it. As you know, there have already been some sanctions handed down to some of the players. Now, right. Here we go with the second trial. And in the second trial, it involves wiretaps.
Yes.
And it involved pay for play. Now, DeAndre, who is a basketball player at Arizona, Maurice, they were saying that this guy was getting paid $10,000 a month. What do you know, and how close have you been following this trial?
Very close, very close. Well, what I know, I read on to that, you know, Sean, Coach Miller was getting paid for him being a part of this scandal.
Coach Miller was getting paid, Maurice? You said Coach Miller himself was getting paid also?
Yes, he was getting paid. What happened is he was getting paid. He got paid for him coming in and got paid for them, and the school got paid itself because for 1,400 minute more fans came in to participate to come to the games, and they Arizona got paid too. So it's a big scandal. It's a big scandal with this situation with NCAA going on. And they're looking into it. And what I read up on is like, there's a rule that they're not even charging them yet with any violation right now at all.
So that's NCAA amazing. Why not? So the NCAA has not even approached Arizona as to say, hey, this is what we want you guys to do.
Right. I mean, they say he under some law. This one is a by law 11.1.1.1 law they have. They're not even dealing with what he got going on. It's the indirect and the direct reports for certain things. So I think they're waiting for the FBI. I think they're waiting to see what's going on. Let the FBI do their thing, and then they're gonna come back at Arizona with Sean Coach Miller, and he's gonna be in trouble for that. You have to be. What you think?
Okay. Now, when I look at this and I'm saying to myself, you playing a basketball player,
right?
$10,000 a month,
right?
To play basketball at Arizona. Okay, where is this money trail coming from? And with that being said, what is a young man? Do this young man still attend school? Or he say, man, forget that. I'm heading, you know, hey, I got $10,000 a month coming in, plus my scholarship. I'm setting pretty right now. I'm setting real pretty. So, Maurice, with that being said, now, who did Arizona beat out to get DeAndre to come to Arizona?
Duke and Kentucky. Sean said it himself. He said, I beat him out. I got a top recruit. And he said, I beat him out. He said, I got the five-star prospect. So he beat out that player, that team.
Did he beat him out or his money was a little longer? That's the question. You know what I'm saying? That's the question. Yeah. Did he beat him out or was the money at Arizona a little longer than the money possibly at Duke and Kentucky? But now we know through this scandal, Coach Rick Pitino lost his job behind this scandal.
Right.
You know, so some heads did turn, but how many heads will actually turn after this second trial is completed? Because I think they did closing arguments today. on this trial.
Right. Uh-huh.
And it goes, all right, well, go ahead, Morris, go.
No, yeah, I think that it just, when once they finish this trial, you're going to see a lot of heads going down. You're going to be like, wow. Because it just is bit by bit. But like the guy said, when we're talking in basketball world, the basketball community, they're not the only one of these now. They're not the only college that's doing that. Other college, they just got caught. They just got caught. You know what I mean? Those people just got caught. But everyone was doing it before then. And as years ago, they've been doing it for years. So they just got caught. And now we're seeing what we've seen, a change, the NCAA trying to change something, trying to put a damper on one and say, okay, we're going to put a shut on it. And what happened is that now Arizona is looking at, and they're going and notice that you see most of the assistant coaches are African-American too. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's amazing. It's amazing that you can see what's going on.
Now, I'm going to let you, Marsh, you said the majority of the coaches and the players that are, what I mean players, the people that are involved in this this scandal. And people got to understand, now, if you're just joining the Tony Sands Show, we're talking about the basketball scandal that has, this corruption that has rocked the basketball world, that has rocked, and we're on the second trial. In the first trial, some of those guys were handed down 6 months, a year, but you got to understand, when you hear $10,000 on top of understanding that basketball revenue was $1 billion.
Right.
So it don't even add up in what basketball players, and it goes back to, as we can say it, when they were saying you had to go one and done. If I'm making $10 million, and understand these players, by them going to college basketball, now Mars, how much did you say that? That DeAndre, him actually going to Arizona, benefited Arizona?
About $250,000 a year they benefit. They made a lot of money off them. Sean Miller.
$10 million.
Even Sean Miller made money. He got a big payoff of it. I mean, it's a lot of money that been made from this. And what he made was more or less than $8 million per year of a rookie did, but making $10 per month Arnold getting. So, and that's just a rookie salary. You know what I'm saying? You make a rookie salary in college. It's $8 million per year as a rookie NBA. This is $10 per month for a free market. He's making money in college like that, more than rookies. In college.
More than a rookie makes. More than a rookie makes. That's crazy. That's when I say this kid here. So my rush to get to the NBA, hey, has my anxiety has less because guess what? Now I can help take care of my parents. When you're saying $10,000 a month on top of a college scholarship, that's a lot of money, but it's no money compared to what the NCAA brings in. Marius, at the average basketball tournament, basketball tournament, how much do a conference bring in per team when their team get in the finals of the playoffs of basketball?
$1.6 million over the next 6 years. $1.6 million they get in the tournament. Each conference, $1.6 million.
And that's just the conference. That's not, guys, that's not including what the schools themselves that's not the school themselves. So you got to understand the schools themselves make even more money off of this. They even make more money off of this play. So you got to understand the play for play. Now, when we break this down, Maurice, we say to ourselves, should this one and done rule have this put the pressure on the one and done? You see, I think they said they're going to do away with the one and done. Let these guys go ahead, because guess what? They're never going to control this. This is just like you just turned over one stone, but there are several other stones that are going. So now, once the NCAA and the FBI turned over this, guess what? There's some other stuff that they're being a little sneaky on the back side of this. So it is not over by a long shot. So if they think it's over, this is going down all the way to youth basketball.
Oh yeah, it changed the whole game, the youth basketball. It changes now with the AU They changed when you play in the live period. They got certain kinds of live periods you play and certain periods you don't play in July. And what they're doing now in the high school is they saying, okay, you go to University of Alabama, you to Georgia, bring your team there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're not even trying to do the live period no more because there was so much scandal going on.
Yes.
That's the crazy part about it. And the kids are being kids because they want to play basketball. They want the opportunity. But what's going on? You from a kid from the rural era? Are you a kid from the hood? What you try to do is try, I want to get out. So what you trying to do, you trying to get to the next level. When that kid get paid, you think he can take the money? Yeah, he's going to take the money. Because he's a kid.
Of course he's going to take it.
Yes,
of course.
Right.
Come on.
So
I'm coming from a hard place, and you telling me not to take this money? And Mike, but now as we know, since this has started, May 4th, the NCAA has launched an investigation into Arizona's men's basketball program. A university spokesman confirmed that the Arizona Daily Star in Tucson on Friday night, they launched their investigation into, because I'm quite sure the pressure has came down on them because they haven't done anything as of yet to even, you know, say, hey, as an institution, we're disappointed in what we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to do this. Louisville got jumped out in front of this by firing Rick Pitino on top of a lot of the other stuff that Rick Pitino was involved in that he didn't know. To say that you don't know is a tough thing to speak on. To say that you don't know. You know, so
you're right.
That is hard.
Definitely. I mean, this been going on for about another year or so, I think. We're going to find out other coaches. Then they try to bring Duke in, you know, with Zion. It was just one of the things that, because the guys with Adidas said, Nike doing it. People telling each other. Cause the FBI is saying, we start telling. They're telling each other. So somebody's going to keep going down. But it's been going on for years. They being quiet. They got Rukutina, but you know the Rukutina is quiet. You haven't seen Rukutina nowhere.
Marsh, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Now, guys, you know the Lakers, LeBron James, is trying to bring the Lakers to prominence. But have the departure of Magic Johnson caused harm in the success of the Lakers? Stay tuned here as we head to commercial break, and we're going to come back on the other side with that answer with my main man, Mo Love, here on the Tony Sands Show. We're live back here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking basketball and basketball scandals here on the Tony Sands Show. But we also, listen, as we left out, Maurice, we're talking about LeBron James. And the success that LeBron has had over the years in basketball is bar none, probably the greatest of any basketball player that I have ever witnessed play in my era of having success and having it at a rapid rate. Now, you got to figure LeBron was a kid that didn't have to go to the NCAA because the one and done was not in. You was able to go ahead and go in. So that's why you would never see those type of scandals with a guy like LeBron James. Because guess what? I'm quite sure the demand would have been high for his value for LeBron James. But LeBron leaves Cleveland, goes to L.A. As he goes to L.A., and he was already being recruited by one of the greatest Lakers of all time, the main man, Magic Johnson. As he get to the Lakers, they don't have the success that the Lakers feel like they should have. Right. And then, abruptly, Magic decides to step down from the Lakers. How do you see that as hurting, or do it hurt LeBron in the future of the L.A. Lakers?
Well, I mean, LeBron's LeBron. He's gonna come back and be strong enough to make it a tier to it. But however, when he thought he was coming over, I had my mentor there. I got this guy who's going to play in the championship Showtime. So I thought, and I think here the world thought, that was the best move for him, was Magic Johnson. But when he made the move to leave and step down, LeBron was shocked. He said he was shocked. He was surprised. He told some of the players, like, I don't believe it. And imagine having really got down and really explained to him about what's going on, because LeBron's confused. But LeBron James is going, because he's kind of personal character, he's going to build from that, be a stronger, a better person. But it's going to affect him. It's going to affect the part. It's going to affect the organization because of the fact that he's gone. LeBron saying, I thought we were going to build a dynasty together. Don't you agree? I mean, can we go back to Showtime again? And that's what he thought when he was going to L.A.
Do you felt Magic should have, before him making the decision to leave the L.A. Lakers, do you felt he should have sat LeBron down and say, hey, listen, buddy, this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm at. My vision is not their vision, or my vision is not the vision that you have had. Do you feel he should have sat LeBron down?
Yeah, that respect. Right. I mean, respect, because, you know, I'm a Hall of Fame NBA player. I've been in the league for a long time. I'm Magic Johnson. I bring another future Hall of Fame to the Showtime, Lakers. Yeah, I think he owed that to him to sit down and say, listen, wherever I feel right now is where I feel. So I got to make a move. Then just walk away. It's a reason behind closed door. Why? You know, maybe he want to fire Luke Walton. You know what I'm saying? He might probably want to fire him, but it was something in that system that he said, I want to step away. But he said he got with LeBron and said something to LeBron about that and talked to him about LeBron, because you brought him in the house.
Yeah, that he definitely brought him into the house, and that was the part of it that I am saying to myself, that if this is possibly a playing out of the way the Lakers is going to play out, then this is going to be crazy, because I feel that this should, you know, play out in a way to where we are men. And have him to be able to understand that, hey, listen, these are some things I got to move out the way in order for you, LeBron, to take your game to the next level.
Right. And that's what, if I was him and LeBron, I'd have been the same. Like, you my ticket. LeBron never had a ticket like that. He never had someone like Magic to be his lead example in an organization that I got you. You know, and I'm a guy who'd be a better athlete, a better businessman. You know, in a better way than LeBron is now. So then LeBron's away, he's like, oh, my God, what he's doing? He's like, you know, you just tell me something. Just, you know, say something to me. And he hasn't said anything. He knows it, and I'm gone. He felt bad. And that was some of that the Magic needed to realize when he walked away, that who he respect, LeBron and the Lakers.
Right. And like LeBron stated on HBO Shop, hey, my right hand come to me and say, Magic, just step down. Can you imagine how shocked that was? But not for you to hear it from Magic. If you had heard it from Magic, it gave you a chance to prepare. But when your right hand guy comes and tell you, hey, listen, Magic, just step down. And Magic was the guy, understand, that brought him to, I feel, was the driving force to bring LeBron to L.A. in the mix of him trying to get this championship. Do you feel with Magic stepping down, them not fulfilling, their season the way they thought that they would once LeBron come there? And LeBron was, to me, he strategically planned this thing out, because he didn't come to L.A. like he came to Miami. Right. Where when he came to Miami, he said, you know, his favorite quote, we're going to win 1, 2, 3, 4. He never stated that with the L.A. Lakers. He just came in kind of quiet, because I think he probably knew that, guess what, we don't have the talent here, and it's going to take us a while. Do you see the Lakers as winning a championship with LeBron?
Well, first thing first, they got to get the coach. And I think they're looking at Ty Lue. They want Ty Lue to be the coach of the Lakers. They're really interested in Ty Lue. That's one thing. And then they're going to get the people around LeBron that's want to win a championship. You know, and he's going to probably take another year or two. You know, how long LeBron can wait? Will you wait that long? I'm getting older now. How long can I wait?
How long can his body hold?
Right.
How long will his body hold up? That's the question.
Right. Then that's true. I mean, your mind says you can keep doing it, but you know your body says it's over. You know, and I know playing sports. What happens? So, I'm thinking if by next year they don't have what they need, LeBron will say, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm probably going to go back home again. You know, he's going to try to get out because LeBron, he like to leave now when things ain't going right. He'll move on because he's a businessman. You know, he's not going to sit there for long and keep losing like that. Now, we're going to see next year.
But do it hurt his legacy? Do it hurt his image that he stayed, that he does not, or he's not able to win a championship with the Lakers versus how he's done in Miami, how he come back to Cleveland to win one? If he does not win one in L.A., does everyone says he should have stayed in Cleveland?
You know how the critics are. They, one thing is, hey, should have stayed in Cleveland. He should have. But you know, other people say, he say, well, I can do it in L.A.
Correct,
the critics going to give him a hard time. But what LeBron probably say, well, like, hey, listen, Magic left me. And we was trying to build a dynasty. He going to put it on him? Or he going to say, you know what? I got to do what I got to do and try to build it. I know LeBron. He's going to start recruiting after he finished the movie. He's going to recruit it now. Can y'all come to the Lakers to win the championship? Let's come to the Lakers to win the championship. Because the free agent is going to be open next this year coming up after the season over.
That's what I'm saying, dude. And not only with him, but there's other guys. Kevin Durant. What happens in Golden State's system with Kevin Durant? Do they sign Kevin Durant or do they go to plan B? What is their plan B?
Or their plan B? The plan B is to sign Klay Thompson. That's their plan B. They can sign Klay Thompson, then whatever KD do, they're not worried about. They're really concerned about Klay Thompson. That's what they want to do, to sign him, to make sure that they get him. Then they worry about KD. They want Klay Thompson before they want KD to sign. KD gonna be gone. I think it's because of him and Draymond Green and the system. And someone said before, when you win championship with the Chicago Bulls, and you win with the Lakers, when the Lakers are winning, that when that time they had championship with Shaq and Kobe, we thought they gonna win. But see how the energy was different, the chemistry was different. It goes to the end. You mean Golden State can win it this year? Are the energy gone? What you think?
I feel. It goes to say when that locker room is not in unity with each other, and sometimes we know in a lot of places that all locker rooms are not friendly, but they come to the middle ground to understand we are all here for one thing and one thing only, and that is to win a championship. So we're going to leave all our differences behind us because we got one thing in mind, and that is to win a championship. But has Golden State peaked at this point? I don't think so. I think they're a veteran enough team to understand that, hey, when we got to turn it on, we got to turn it on. Because you got to remember now, they're still leading this series with the Rockets, 2-1.
Right.
They're still leading the series 2-1.
Yeah, but you know your boy is kicking it real good. Harden, he's doing what he got to do. And TP, they come behind him now. They got to be careful, you know, and they got to play a game, and Steph hurt that finger. So it was the other game, he's like, you hurt that finger, so you got to be careful because one of the things about the NBA is you got to turn on and turn off with the playoffs. You got to turn on. Regardless, you got your hand hurt, you got your ankle hurt, you got to take it up. What you got to do? You got to fight. You know, you got to fight for it, you know?
You got to. And so tonight, Marius, before we get ready to go to a commercial break, and I'm coming back on the other side with Coach Roger Head of St. Thomas Aquinas, a football program here in South Florida. Before we do that, give me your prediction on the Rocket and the Warriors game tonight on TNT at 9:30.
Oh, Warriors all the way through. Warriors going to win. It's going to be a close game, exciting game, but the Warriors going to win. Clay going to have a good game. KD going to have a good game like he did that tonight. And also Steph going to have a good game. It's going to be a great game. I got the Warriors.
Listen, we're heading to a commercial break on the backside. We're coming back with my main man, Roger Harrod of St. Thomas Aquinas High School in South Florida, and how he's doing a great job of making sure that those young men are being guided in the right direction. As we say, championships is what champion in being men is his main and number one focus. We're going to come back here with Roger Harriet of St. Thomas Aquinas.
So you don't believe. I'm never falling from these habits. No, who's ever really static? Just take my honor, you can have it.
And that was my main man, Maurice Love, talking with. That's my analyst. You'll hear him each and every week here on the Tony Sands Show as we break down basketball in this crazy, scandalous, pay-for-play system of NCAA basketball, which something has been going on. All of a sudden, one guy gets in trouble, and he tells the FBI, guess what? I got a bigger fish for you. So guess what? I'm going to turn this over, and it's going to rock the basketball world. It's going to rock the basketball world. But without that, hey, let's switch over to football. Let's turn to one of the top premier programs in high school football in the country. When you're talking about putting out number one athletes, back-to-back, first-round draft picks. Bosa, first-round draft pick. Nick, first-round draft pick. When you're talking about the most guys in the NFL, they come out of this program. I was bred out of this program. But without further ado, let's bring to the show my main man, Roger Harris. What's going on, Rog?
How you doing, Tony? Super trainer, man, sensational.
Hey, man, I'm doing
St. Thomas Aquinas finest.
Hey, listen, man, I'm doing great, man. Anytime I can get a chance and talk with you, a guy that's leading men, young boys, and turning them into men, man, it is always a pleasure. How's everything going over there, Rog?
It's going great, and I appreciate you, having me on the show to honor what you have established at St. Thomas Aquinas, obviously with the help of others, but you did such a remarkable job just setting a tone of professionalism and enthusiasm and obviously an extremely high level of performance. You know, we were able to watch you, and you set the tone for us, and the bar has been climbing ever since, and we appreciate your continued support and love for the program. As far as, where we are at this point, we're extremely grateful, and we feel blessed to have an opportunity to, impact these young men to be not only extraordinary athletes and represent the St. Thomas Aquinas championship brand and expectations, but more importantly, to impact their hearts, to meet expectations more so off the field and challenge them to use these talents that God has bestowed upon them to inspire others and hopefully become champions later on in their life.
Rod, you had a, when you look at your coaching staff, you have what you call a number one top class coaching staff. When you're talking about Jason Taylor, yeah, Jason Taylor, Stephen Scott, I mean the list goes on and on, and you had Sam Madison. Now Sam Madison, who controlled your secondary, which your secondary last year, a lot of those, the majority of those guys signed Division I scholarship. Sam's gone. How do you replace a Sam Madison as a defensive back coach, a guy that's been in the NFL, played in the Pro Bowl, played for the Miami Dolphins? How do you replace him when it comes to his coaching ability?
I've always been a firm believer that God has a heavy hand on this program. The extraordinary things that has transpired at St. Thomas, as much as we would all like to take some, credit for it, God's plan is, extremely, prevalent throughout the ages. And, it's often attracted not only great athletes and teachers, but also extraordinary coaches. And, Sam had a 2-year stint at St. Thomas Aquinas and has been fortunate enough to move on and share his experience and his wealth of talent with the Kansas City Chiefs. These guys are just attracted to the program. Coach Smith has done a good job of establishing the platform of championships, and we got a tremendous amount of support from our lead administrators. Father Kelly has been there for well over, close to 50 years, and our principal, Dr. Loma, has been there for a number of years. So it's more of a family-oriented environment, and it resonates throughout the whole entire country. We have a very, very strong alumni base that is full of pride, as you know, and we've done a good job with regards to holding each other accountable to meeting a certain level of expectation. And as a result of it, we were able to win a substantial amount of games, send kids to college. Those kids move on. Some of them were fortunate enough to go to the NFL, and others are champions within their life as husbands and fathers and so forth. But there's a heavy tradition of pride and spirit within in St. Thomas. So I think because of that, we're able to attract some, you know, extraordinary minds that want to be a part of this championship culture, and they're grateful for it. So when someone like Sam Madison transitions on, there's somebody that's been waiting.
Correct.
You know, and we're able to, you know, Devin Gaulden, who's one of my former players, moved on, and he's been coaching college, and it just so happened, and he did have a time, and he did spend some time at St. Thomas, but it just so happened that he transitioned back out of college during the time Sam was transitioning to the NFL. So God's plan is just so much greater than our own, and He provides for us every step of the way.
Now, Roger, when you look at St. Thomas and you think about the championships and the national ranking, how do you prepare your kids to make a run when, you know, a lot of the criticism may say, hey, we should have won this, we should have won that. How do you keep your kids' heads level when there's so many people, probably I'm quite sure, on the outside telling the kids, hey, y'all should have won this, y'all should have won a state championship, this and that and that. How do you control that environment in a big old environment such as St. Thomas?
Well, you control it by making sure you're focused on the bigger picture, which is basically making, you know, ensuring that they're held to a high standard of faith, family, tradition, and excellence, and helping them realize that this is a great opportunity to represent the traditions that have been laid down before them. Our teachers and coaches have done; they do a great job of keeping history current at St. Thomas Aquinas. And, you know, on top of that, based on these advancements in technology, you and I both know, Tony, everybody's a critic. And for us,
yes.
So for us, we take the praise, and we know that we're going to get the criticism as well. So we look at it as an opportunity to get motivated when things are difficult. And one of our biggest challenges is, like what you said, you know, keeping our guys level-headed with all the stars and the offers and the media attention. So from a coaching standpoint, it's imperative that we do more parenting than coaching. So we truly take an ontological approach, you know, to coaching, which basically is modeling the things that you believe in. A lot of you know, organizations, they talk about being disciplined and trust and having integrity and a high sense of character, you know, all these intangibles that we feel help us to achieve a certain level of success. Well, we, you know, from an ontological coaching standpoint, we actually model these systems, and our players do a great job of being receptive to it. But, you know, we call ourselves the exaggerated role models because we feel like we have to. It's a very high level of competitive nature at St. Thomas Aquinas. So we do a great job of exaggerating what it means to be a good person and do the right thing, you know, right from the way we communicate, the way we behave, and so forth. And our players appreciate it. They understand that there's certain sacrifices that need to be made, and as a result, they're passionate and they're inspired by what we're trying to accomplish there and the support that we provide for them.
And Roger, when you say the support that you provide for them, what's some of the things that when it comes to the support that a young man over at St. Thomas could possibly use while he's over. Because I know when I first went in there, you know, I was kind of scared when I first went in there because I was wondering, what was I smart enough to maintain the level of excellence that it took mm-hmm. academically to stay at a St. Thomas Aquinas. So what are some of the things that a young man or a young lady, but from your standpoint, a young man gets when they approach academically when it comes to St. Thomas?
Well, you know, obviously St. Thomas is a storied program, and it can be very intimidating and as a result difficult to acclimate to. So we take more of a therapeutic approach, and we believe that we're transformational coaches, and we want to make sure that we're impacting their life to change and evolve in a healthy way. So some of the things that we do to help with our player transitioning from one phase of their life onto the next in a healthy way, we make sure that we cultivate meaningful relationships amongst each other and have a primary focus on God, you know, based on the faith of the organization. And we set our guys up with, you know, a reward and consequence system. We have all kind of, you know, themes that we go by there. You go, we go, faith, family, tradition, excellence, you know, hold the rope and so forth. We have one this year called STAMP, which is, you know, it's an acronym. Obviously, the STA part of it stands for St. Thomas Aquinas, and the MP stands for most productive. So you know, if you're doing all the things you're supposed to be doing, on and off the field, we have a shirt that has a stamp on it with a seal on the back of it, which says Aquinas Finest, and basically says stamp approved. And it's these things like that our kids thrive for. We also created a peer mentor program. I personally feel like the strongest influence amongst from a humanistic standpoint is peer pressure. So you want to partner guys that are kind of struggling, whether it's social emotional in the classroom or on the football field or just in general. We try to partner them up with somebody that is strong enough to hold them accountable and we feel is a big brother to the program and follows through with what is supposed to be done on and off the field. And that mentoring program has been extremely successful for us. Another thing we work on during the off season is a senior leadership program where biweekly to once a month, we'll take a character trait. We'll take all the seniors into a classroom on a Saturday morning and we'll break down, you know, a character trait. This past class we had was on integrity and trustworthiness. And we go through the definition of it. We bring in some guest speakers, guys that are familiar with this family-oriented atmosphere and this focus that we're trying to establish at St. Thomas. And then it basically becomes a classroom discussion after they do a self-evaluation survey amongst each other. And then there's a couple of Q&A questions, and they have to, and then they go home and they answer a prompt. We give them 5 prompts, and they have to write an essay on one of them and come back and share it. So they learn how to public speak, in an effective way amongst their peers as well. And then once they're done, they have to share the information that they learned with their underclassmen within their position, including their coaches. So there's constant education on with regards to how, you know, what it takes to become a formidable force and effective leader. So we do all kind of the, you know, different things, Tony, that not only help them become acclimated to the competitive nature of St. Thomas Aquinas, that environment within themselves, but also become a productive member, not only of the institution, but of their community as well. So they have we have responsibility to our community from a holistic standpoint and a humanistic approach. And when they're done with, once you leave St. Thomas, you feel like you're ready for life, you're ready for the world, and you're ready to take on any challenge and battle that's there before you. And we get motivated through the face of adversity. And when things are going well for us, we demonstrate a real sense of grace and an authentic sense of humility. So there's so many things that they learn about themselves, and as a result, you know, they're you know, iron sharpens iron, and they're able to attract, you know, other, you know, like-minded human beings. And it just comes a force, man. And it's just a positive atmosphere. And we're grateful that we're able to share and be a part of it.
Hey, man, listen, each and every time I can have you on the show, Raj, man, it is a pleasure. You continue to lead those young men in that way of building character and making them character young men throughout their community. It's a pleasure. Hey, you got, keep them going, keep them rolling. We're going to hit the commercial break, man, and it's a pleasure to have you on.
No, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, Tony, for everything you've done. You've inspired us. We appreciate you and love you.
Love you too, brother. You're back here on the Tony Sands Show as you got a chance to hear my main man, Roger Harrod, as he speak on the state of St. Thomas Aquinas, the state of St. Thomas Aquinas. We're leading this thing into a big show that we're going to do. We possibly may have it on for the first 30 minutes of next week's show. We'll be live on location. And we're going to bring in, I'm going to bring in some of South Florida coaches. What I mean by that is a lot of South Florida, some things that has happened throughout South Florida when it comes to football, high school football at that. And we're going to bring in three coaches where we have a coach's corner, and we're going to talk about the things that people may not know when it comes to high school football here in South Florida. But that's, you know, hey, we want to save that sound bite and keep that going for next week because it's going to be a heck of a show. We got a chance to listen to my main man, Mo Love, as he break down the NCAA scandal in and out. He's up and down all over the place when it comes to that. He is my main man. So I'm telling you, you got to listen each and every week to the Tony Sands Show. You don't know which guests I'm going to bring on and who I'm going to bring on, because next week I'm going to bring on a big guest, a huge guest that's probably going to ride out with me for a little bit as we talk NFL football at its finest. The NFL at its finest, we're going to bring on the Tony Sands Show. So guess what, guys? We got to close out the show, but you'll hear us each and every Monday here on the Tony Sands Show as we get ready to warm up, as we break down what the latest topics in the sports world here on the Tony Sands Show. We bring life and sports together, and guess what? You mix them all up, and you got a great recipe for news here on the Tony Sands Show. Closing out. See you later. We're gone.